Hour number two of Darren and Donick. Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson sitting in as both those boys have the day off. Willie is at the College World Series with his Vanderbilt Commodores. And Darren is with Chase McCabe on Debauchery Tour 2019.
Scary.
Yes. We're going to check the police blotters hourly to see if we can catch up with those two fine young men. NBA draft coming up tonight, and we could have as many as six players with State of Tennessee ties go in this year's draft. It's we have got so much to look forward to. And what's really cool about this year's draft is, I mean, we got a guy from the OVC who's going to go second overall. Dylan Windler from Belmont could go in the first round. And then there's another guy from Lipscomb, and that's Garrison Matthews, who could be a second-round pick because the fact is he can score the basketball. The guy who coached him at Lipscomb is Casey Alexander. He's the new head coach at Belmont. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
How many eyes will you have on the NBA draft tonight?
Yeah, I'll have mine for sure. I'll actually be with the Belmont guys at Dylan Windler's draft party. Got a recruit in town, and so that's a pretty good place to take him to the
that's not bad
draft party. And so that's where I'll be. But I'm certainly watching Garrison closely and pulling hard for him, wishing him the best as well.
You know, none of us know what Garrison's chances are, but he's 6'6", and he's got in the gym range. And the way the NBA is going now, it is more towards his skill set, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a premium on being able to score the ball. I mean, there's never been a coach who doesn't like scores, but the way the game is evolving, really NBA and college ranks, there's such a premium on shooting and being able to play with others and sharing the ball and so forth. And so he's well prepared for that style of play. And had an unbelievable year, but followed that up with some great individual workouts with some NBA teams and did well at Portsmouth and so forth. So I think he's positioned himself well for something. I don't know if it'll be a draft pick, but it's something good. It's coming soon.
Well, obviously we've talked about the out of the gym or in the gym range, but what are the concerns for him? You know, what is it has to get better?
He would be the first to tell you defensively is, he's a physical guy and he's a tough kid and he wants to be good. But that's probably the biggest question mark is, how is he going to be, staying in front of and contesting and just creating a difficult shot for, that 6'5", 6'6", 6'7" guard in the NBA that he'll have to be guarding.
Did he become the player that you thought he would be, or did he become just way beyond what you thought?
Yeah, far exceeded our expectations. I mean, you don't sign anybody and not believe they're going to be good. That's the whole reason you want them and you sign them.
But the all-time leading scorer, that's something else.
It takes on a life of its own once they get there for everybody. And it took him 10 or 15 games his freshman year. I mean, he was a lost puppy. He was not comfortable. He was not playing well. He was trying to figure it out. And about the time he figured it out, Josh Williams, our best player at the time, tore his ACL. And so we inserted Garrison into the starting lineup. And for the second half of his freshman year, he was our best player, and he never looked back. So,
Coach, has he talked to you about anything in the last few months here as he's gearing up for the draft and come to you with any advice at all?
We talk weekly, and he's in, the former staff is in communication with him and all the time. And so we stay connected on a pretty regular basis and have stayed up to date on how his workouts have gone. Naturally, we hear from some of the NBA teams and GMs and scouts, and because they want our 2 cents worth as well. Things have gone really well. I mean, I think he has put himself in as nice of a position as he can, with the teams that are looking for somebody like him. And, he could sneak into the back end of the second round for sure. I don't think he would put money on that right now, but he's obviously hopeful. I believe he and his agent, have been told by multiple teams that, he can expect a summer league invitation and a G League opportunity or a two-way contract perhaps. And, if you're not drafted and on a team, then you want the opportunity to join one. And that's that's the opportunity I think that he'll have at the worst.
Well, and you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but slightly undersized for a small forward. What would he have to do then if he maybe didn't get drafted and had some invitations? What would he need to do to go in there and show that he can fit in on one of these teams?
Yeah, a lot of times it just becomes about performance then, you know, and I think he'll move over to more of a two-guard slot, you know, in the NBA. Everybody kind of shifts one position specifically in that if you're a 2-3-4 range. And so, you know, but all you can ask for is a chance. You know, that sounds cliche maybe, but, you know, that's what Ian Clark had a few years ago when he left here at Belmont. I mean, he didn't get drafted, but he got on an NBA Summer League team, and he played really well. He ended up being the Summer League MVP, and he got his first contract with Utah, and he's still playing. And so that's what Garrison wants, and that's all you can ask for, really, is get yourself in position to make your own way.
Now, you've also coached against Dylan Windler, whose school you're now coaching. You know, look, I love him in the NBA, Casey. I mean, 6'8", he's got great hands. He can get his shot up over the top of people, and he's got long range. I mean, when I watched him all last year, I said, man, this kid's got NBA written all over him. I would be surprised if he doesn't go late in round one.
I would be, too, and I think he would be. You know, nobody wants to – you don't want to set yourself up for disappointment, but he's gotten great feedback. He also has performed very well. His combine numbers were very good and kind of catapulted him up a few notches. You know, sometimes it just depends on, you know, how the draft falls and what the needs are, and, you know, and what kind of slot you get taken in. But he's going to get drafted. He's going to be on the roster, you know. And then he's got the same responsibility Garrison does. It's just, you know, make your way. You know, do the best you can and make the most of it. But he has great NBA potential because of his length, as you mentioned, and so much versatility in the sense that he's a great rebounder. He can guard multiple positions.
Yeah, put it on the floor.
And, exactly.
And then physically, I mean, you know, he's got so much room for growth that, you know, you're talking about a guy, you know, 5-10 years from now, he's going to be a different cat physically than he is right now. Garrison's pretty well put together. He's matured, you know, in a little bit different way. Dylan's got a lot of potential for change physically.
Now, as a guy who played at Belmont and played against Lipscomb and has been on both sides of this thing, how exciting is it to see these programs in a place where they've got a guy in the NBA right now, and they're in a position where they've got each got a guy who could be headed for the NBA very, very soon? I mean, the growth of those programs and what that says is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it does, and it you know, it means a lot to both schools right now, and it'll help both programs going forward. You know, I mean, there were some great NAIA players back in the day, you know, that could have played at a lot of places, and then there was the transition to Division I, which wasn't smooth for either school. You know, and now we're 15 years fast forward 15 years, and we're, you know, we're winning NCAA tournament games, and Lipscomb's going to the finals of the NIT, and got NBA players, and, you know, so it's pretty remarkable to think, you know, this Belmont campus I'm walking on right now, where it was when I was a student and player here and where it is today, they're absolutely night and day.
Well, I always say that winning doesn't happen by accident, and both of those schools have made the decision that they want to be good, and so they're good. That's kind of the way it happens, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you know, there's more that goes into it than that. Everybody wants to be good, but you've got to invest the resources. You know, you've got to have a plan and a vision. You've got to be committed to that vision. And, you know, and I think that's what both have done. You know, I mean, it's been the most rewarding part of the Belmont program. Coach Bird would tell you this in a heartbeat, that, you know, that our teams today and our recruiting pitch today and the kind of players and families we want today is the same that we wanted 30 years ago. And so that's a pretty large commitment to believing in what you're doing and making it be your secret sauce for success.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, especially in the OVC conference, now you see John Morant's possibly going to be a top five pick. Dylan Windler's going to get drafted possibly. You even see Grayson Matthews. And you see these small programs now developing NBA talent. And now the OVC is kind of one of those teams or one of those conferences that are actually doing that. So is that kind of what you're using in recruiting of, you know, just because you go to a small program does not mean that your NBA hopes is ending, because you look at guys like Steph Curry, look at guys like CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, and now Ja Morant and Dylan Windler as well. Is that something that you're kind of using in recruiting a little bit?
Yeah, we'd be foolish not to. You know, I mean, we're going to tell a recruit, obviously, the one thing we can't give you is a Power Five experience. You know, we can't do anything about, you know, what people perceive our level to be, or whether we have, you know, big time football games on our campus on Saturdays. You know, but we can give you everything else you want. You know, we can give you 8 NCAA tournaments in 14 years, and you know, we can give you an NBA opportunity if you show that you're, you know, that caliber of player, and you know, we can give you a great experience being in a great city. So everything else that you could ever desire as a player, as a person, as a student, you know, we can offer you that.
All right. Well, Coach Casey Alexander, we thank you for joining us. Congratulations on going home to Belmont and jumping right in a big way with the draft party coming up tonight. It's, you know what? I mean, for Dylan, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. He could play 20 years in the league. He'll never have another draft night. I hope it's a special one for all you guys.
I think it will be. Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks,
right,
Coach.
Appreciate it. That's Casey Alexander, head coach of the Belmont Bruins. Coached one really good basketball player, and now he's got another. He had a bunch of really good basketball players. I don't want to take away from all those guys. They could all really play. And Marquise, I think you're bringing up a great point. You know, you can't just get drafted out of the OVC. You get picked second overall.
Absolutely.
If you can play, you can play. It's just that simple.
And then that's also, it's not only just credited to the players as well, the coaching. You look at what Matt McMahon's doing at Murray State. You've seen what Rick Byrd has done over the years at Belmont. So it's not even just the players. It's the player development as well. So you got to give the coaches a lot of that credit too as well. And you see some of the Power 5 coaches are, you know, programs are now attacking these smaller program teams and attacking their coaches. You know, you've seen even with Alabama getting a guy like Nate Oates from Buffalo. So it's like now programs are looking at these smaller programs because they're seeing how they're developing players throughout their years.
Well, and we all see that it's possible to grow to a power program from being a mid-major. I'm from Spokane, Washington, and I watched the Zags build from really nothing to what they are today, obviously with the help of Mark Few, and he's been there. But it shows that it's possible, and that's why college basketball is so interesting now more than ever, because these mid-majors are being able to build a name for themselves and grow into these more powerful teams.
Wichita State, Nevada. Yes. And we also seen Houston reemerge. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got the right coach in there, they can do it. The other thing that we're finding is, if you can get kids who are committed to a 3- and 4-year process, you can take out those fantastic freshman teams, because you've got grown men who are ready to go against freshmen. I mean, just look at when you looked at Belmont, Maryland last year. Maryland had a different kind of athlete.
Yes.
And that game went overtime. Yep. And it went overtime for a reason. We're going to talk more about the NBA draft, where we expect all these guys to go. That's coming up next. Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson sitting in for Darren and Donick. You're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.